would invite you to take your Bibles and your pews and turn to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah 12. This comes as the last chapter in the first section of Isaiah. It holds together as a unit, and this is the culminating chapter of that unit. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you are angry with me, your anger has turned away. And you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give praise to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and shout for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. The word joy is very much associated with Christmas. It's pretty hard to go through the Christmas season and not find that word, well, somewhere. It's all over Christmas cards. I've noticed it in various places in the public life of our culture. It permeates our hymns. Last night at a Christmas Eve service, I noted banners. Joy was one of the four banners. Yeah, joy is really associated with Christmas, at least the word and the concept of joy. I think the reality is in very short supply. I usually stay inside 1 week before Christmas and don't venture out. But yesterday I had to go out with Marnie, and we went to a few places, and I made a note of watching people's faces. And I'll tell you, joy was in very short supply. I would say the word harried would be much more appropriate. People running around, people struggling and fighting for parking places, people struggling through traffic, people buying stupid things that they did not need simply because they had to find a gift for someone. And as I looked at faces, while Marnie was doing what she needed to do, and I watched people's faces, the one thing that I did not see very often was joy. It was in short supply. It seemed to be lost, or at the very best, cheapened. I've been reminded several times in the last week of one of my favorite phrases in Our World Belongs to God, the contemporary testimony that says, pursuing pleasure, we lose the gift of joy. Pursuing pleasure, frenetically, frantically, pursuing something that might give pleasure, we lose the gift of joy. And yet, not only the word, but the reality of joy should be associated with Christmas. And there's good reason that that word is joy is found throughout our Christmas carols, is found in so many liturgies and litanies about Christmas. And it's because of the language of the angels to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Now that language of joy comes against the backdrop, if we were to understand it rightly, of the Old Testament prophets. If we are to understand what is being said with that little language of good news, of great joy, we must return to the background of the Old Testament prophets. And in all the Old Testament prophets, there was a movement that went something like this. Israel, representing the rest of the world, was in bondage. Here was a world in bondage. Bondage to sin, bondage to curse, bondage to God's judgment. A world where there was blindness, a world where there was lameness, a world where there was pain, a world where there was death, a world living in people living under the guilt of sin, a world of oppression, a world of hunger, a world of bondage. But there was coming a time, all the prophets described differently, where there was going to be a turning point, and God was going to act. And God was going to bring a renewal and a restoration and a healing of the entire world. And all that brought that world into bondage was going to be done away with, and the world and human beings were going to be liberated from that bondage. And it would be a time of great joy. The word joy is associated with this turning point over and over and over and over again throughout the prophets. I counted 43 times in the book of Isaiah alone. 43 times in the book of Isaiah alone that the word joy is associated with this turning point when God was going to act to liberate and heal the world from all the misery that it had endured. It seems to me that bringing together two songs, at least the first verses of two songs, summarize the prophetic message beautifully. The first, O come, Emmanuel. It sang in that kind of tune that is longing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice. And that's what the prophets say. Emmanuel will come, future tense, O Israel. And combine that with my favorite Christmas carol, Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Had a cute little illustration this morning of that. I was up very early. I thought I would be the only one up. And for some reason, there's two little people got up. Levi and Adele, and they came down. I said, you're down awfully early. And they started playing while I was studying my sermon. And then they had just a wee bit of a scuffle. And Adele comes in, and she's like this, and she's very sad, and she comes over to me, and so I hold her, and I begin to, and I ask, are you sad? She says, yes. I said, but this is a day when God came into the world in Jesus. She said, yes. And then I was at this point in my sermon, so I started singing, O come, Emmanuel, and tickling her back, and she just put her head on my shoulder and listened as I sang it. And then I came to the rejoice part, and she sat up. And then I started singing, Joy to the World. And as I sang that, all of a sudden she jumped off my lap, got a big red balloon, and started going boom, boom, boom with this big red balloon and started dancing around. And I thought, what an illustration. Here is a world in misery, scuffling. A world living and needing to be ransomed. And then joy to the world, the Lord has come. Balloons, big red balloons, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And so joy is associated in the prophets, as I said, again and again, I would bet hundreds of times, with this turning point when God is going to act to heal our world. And Isaiah 12 gives us one of those images. It's just talking in the first 11 chapters about how Israel is under God's judgment. But then in the chapters 10 and 11, it says, in that day, God is going to act. And he's going to take the stem of Jesse. And that Messiah is going to come and bring salvation. And then as it's spoken all the way through of this misery that's going to be relieved finally by God, it ends with these joyful words in chapter 12. And it uses this image after saying that your anger is turned away, and three times using the word salvation, it then says, with joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. Now that image would have spoken very powerfully to an ancient Near Eastern person living at this time. It doesn't speak very powerfully to us, quite frankly. As a matter of fact, most of us probably are sitting here thinking, image? Well, where's the image? But it's a very potent image. It's an image of finding a well with a subterranean spring of water. And in ancient times, in an arid, desert-like place, to find a spring and to be able to dig down and have a well that brought water was something that was tremendous. You see, we need water. And you and I just turn on our taps and we have it at our fingertips. And we don't realize that so much of the rest of the world often is struggling, has struggled to find water. If you want to see a picture of this joy, go to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, and they're traveling through the wilderness, and all of a sudden, God enables them to find a well and a spring. And what do? They dig, and then they start dancing and singing, "Spring up, O well!" And they begin to sing with great joy, and they sing about the person that found it, and they sing about the person that from where it came from, and they continue to sing about this well, for Pete's sake. A well, because they now have water to drink, they have water to cook, they have water to care for their needs. And what the imagery here is one of finding water. Now, I can picture that Numbers image because I was told just 3 months ago that the wilderness that Israel traveled through is almost identical to the kind of place where I do a lot of hiking in Phoenix, that almost identical to the sand and the little tiny, I guess you call them vegetation, and the rocks, and it's so dry. And I can only imagine, because I've been there 3 hours, I can't wait to get water. But I can only imagine a whole nation going through there. And they're not going to be able at the end to say, okay, let's go to the tap and let's get some water. And now all of a sudden they find this water. And there is great joy and they begin to dance and they begin to celebrate. This is the image that Isaiah is using. With joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. And in fact, that image is found throughout the prophets. Zechariah, Isaiah, Jeremiah use the same image. But they speak of that well of water coming from the temple. It's going to come from the place of God's presence. And it's going to flow out. And it's going to flow to all nations and bring healing and life to the nations. Water is going to flow to the whole world. And so it brings great joy. The good news of great joy on Christmas Day is that God has begun his work in Jesus Christ in his birth. Good news of great joy is that God has come in Christ, fulfilling that temple presence, and it's going to be from him that water will flow. Isaiah 12, 4, or 3 that we just read, with joy you will draw waters from the well of salvation, was kept alive in Israel. The two books that they read most often around the time of Jesus was Isaiah and Daniel. And they kept this particular chapter alive in a very powerful way. In one of the three major feasts called the Feast of Tabernacles, what they would do is have what was called a water ceremony. And the water ceremony is they would go down to the Pool of Siloam, and the priests would fill these pitchers with water. And then they would bear them back, and as people would go, they would go back dancing and singing and celebrating. There would be the loud playing of instruments, and they would dance and celebrate all the way back to the temple, and they would sing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, God, come and save us." And then when they got back to the temple, as they poured out the water in the temple, they would sing and say these verses over and over again. "With joy we shall draw waters from the well of salvation." And they would do that every day for 7 days on the Feast of Tabernacles. And then on the seventh day, they would do it seven times. And I can just picture the water flowing as it comes down the steps of the temple. And one rabbi living about the time of Jesus says this: "Anyone who has not seen this water ceremony has never seen rejoicing." Anyone who has not seen this water ceremony, said this rabbi, has never seen rejoicing. Because of the rejoicing, the dancing, and the singing, and the celebration as they look forward to that day when the waters of salvation would flow and God would act. And in John 7, during that Feast of Tabernacles, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, said Jesus, says John, Jesus stands in the temple, perhaps, and I believe likely, in the place where that water had been poured out seven times that day, maybe standing in a puddle. Jesus stands and says in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." Jesus stands and he says, the well of salvation that you have been looking for, those waters that you want to dip into to quench your thirst, they have arrived in me. Good news of great joy. You can now dip into the waters of salvation. They've arrived in me. And then he says, by this, speaking of the water, he says, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. You see, the birth of Jesus is only the beginning of God's action in history. It would carry through his life. It would carry through his death. It would carry through his resurrection. It would be these events in which God was acting to bring salvation and renewal to the world in a way that none of the Jews could have ever expected. But it would only then when he poured out his Spirit upon completion of his work that people then could begin to draw the waters of salvation for themselves. It's when he gives the Spirit that the water of salvation is made available. And Jesus couldn't have said it any louder. He could not have said it any louder. Isaiah 12 has been fulfilled in my work. And you can draw on these waters of salvation as you take hold of me and receive that Spirit. You can begin to perhaps wet your appetite, you can begin to taste a bit of that water. Christmas Day is about the good news of great joy, that God has come among us to begin his work. He completed it in the death and resurrection of Christ and now offers his Spirit so that we can participate in that great day of salvation. But that great day of salvation is going to come fully and completely when Jesus returns again, then there will be no more thirst. Not only will there be no more thirst, there'll be no more hunger, no more pain, no more death. There will be no more bondage to sin, no more bondage to guilt. There will be none of that which makes our world miserable. God's great turning point began in the birth of Jesus, but it will be completed when Christ returns. And then, there will be a great celebration. And then maybe, if that rabbi has embraced Christ, and if he's there on the new earth, he will look, that same rabbi who wrote these words, and say something like this: "Boy, I've not seen any rejoicing like this, as the people of God celebrate the wells of salvation that have been accomplished in Christ, and they drink, and they swim, and they do everything they want with that water because it flows so plentifully. With joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation." Let's pray together. Lord, enable us to take hold of Christ and draw those waters of salvation. And we look to that great day when that water will flow across the whole earth, and we will see a renewed creation. No more pain, no more death, no more sin, no more hunger, no more oppression, no more evil. Oh, we look to that day, Lord. We look to that day with a foretaste of joy, knowing that one day we will celebrate with a fullness of joy when Christ returns. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.